The coronavirus is the biggest threat this country has faced
for
decades.
We have asked everyone in Wales to make changes in the way we live our lives.
Stay at home during this pandemic.
Welcome to Journos in Lockdown,
a podcast created by trainee broadcast journalists who are learning to report in a global pandemic.
As we've not been able to go out and meet journalists, we've decided to bring them to you and ask them what challenges coronavirus has brought them
and what the future of journalism might look like.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Journos in Lockdown. My name is Chris Lomas. I'm a trainee broadcast journalist at Cardiff University with a particular interest in sports journalism, and I was delighted to be able to catch up with Gavin Ramjohn, a presenter and host for BBC Sport. Gavin has previously worked across the industry, from presenting rolling coverage on Sky Sports, working as a breaking news specialist for CBS, and fronting programmes for ITV and the BBC. In a time where coronavirus has forced us to adjust to living in a new socially distanced world, sport's innate capacity of bringing us together has been sorely missed. I speak to Gavin about how sports journalism has changed in this period, whether sport will have to adapt to a new normal, and how the next generation of journalists find their way into an increasingly competitive industry. Gavin Ramjohn, thank you for joining us. How are you, firstly?
Oh, good question, Chris. Yeah, not too bad. Up and down, I guess, like everybody at this moment in time. I think it's a very funny period, isn't it? You know, we're kind of one minute feeling very positive about kind of, you know, the free time and having the headspace to concentrate on, you know, stuff that's away from the norm. And then, you know, other times you're thinking, my word, I'm bored and I wish things were back to normal and you can't see friends and family as often as you'd like unless you live with them. So, yeah, I mean, it's a roller coaster of emotions, really, I'd say. But on the whole, I think doing okay. And I am still working as well. So it's, not as frequently because of we have a reduced schedule and reduced hours right now. But in terms of sport, that is. But yeah, other than that, though, all good, really. Trying to keep positive. I think it's important to stay positive and keep, on the right track, because at some point things will get back to normal. And, you know, it's good to be back in that frame of mind and ready to rock when things do get moving again, really.
You've touched on a few of those emotions about what lockdown is like, and it has been a turbulent couple of months. How has work changed for you in this period?
In the sports industry and in sports journalism, it's, you know, fundamentally changed. I've just done a special program with the BBC World Unit and BBC Sport and BBC News, actually, and it's gone across all outlets and on the iPlayer, and it's how sport has changed in the time of coronavirus. And we had major names talking to us on that show. And we did it relatively early on in lockdown, if you like. And it was, you know, early on in the coronavirus crisis. So, you know, we didn't necessarily have, no one did, had an idea of how long it would go on for. And I think, you know, that was in March. No, sorry, April we did that. Feels like March, could have been February for all I know. But yeah, time just stands still these days, isn't it? But yeah, we did it in April, and it was... it's interesting because you notice how a lot of athletes back then were using, you know, their own routines at home to keep in shape and keep themselves in some sort of kind of physical condition and mental condition as well. But in terms of how it's changed on a day-to-day basis, you know, there's just less sport to report on. There's less events, there's fewer events going on. There's, you know, fewer stories coming out of those events, and, you know, the daily dramas of the world that we work in, you know, it's just not the same because there's not, no one's doing anything, if you like. No one's publicly doing anything. So it's, you know, you don't really have as much to report. But that gradually it is getting more and more traction in terms of, you know, people expecting the date to be announced for various sports events coming back. And, you know, you've got a lot of things to look forward to. You know, a lot of people are talking positively about coming back to training. And, you know, you can feel that there is, you know, that we're kind of on the up, if you like. I think we are on the up anyway. So right now it's a fallow period. And I think for a lot of people, not necessarily in sports journalism, it's a fallow period. But yeah, you just have to stay upbeat and positive and be ready for when things do resume, really. So yeah, it's changed a lot. I guess it's that, it's almost like it's a sort of pre-season, but not kind of really a pre-season, if that makes sense. It's like a pre-season, but with nothing going on, and then an extended pre-season. So yeah, that's the vibe of it, really.
A permanent pre-season. So you've spoken to these different athletes, clubs, players across, you know, across sports in this pandemic. What are the main messages that you're getting for them? Are they
worried about returning, or are they sort of chomping at the bit to get back?
Most of them are chomping at the bit. Yeah, most of them, it's fair to say, are, you know, really, really keen and eager to get back. You have that emotion balanced with the safety angle, though, as well. You know, a lot of footballers have come out and said that they will take the safety more seriously because of the nature of what is going on right now. And that's completely understandable. They may have relatives or loved ones that are, you know, in a condition where they, you know, if the virus is passed to them, it may be tragic. So they, you know, there's that angle too. But generally on the whole, the sentiment is to get back and playing and get back doing what they normally do as a matter of their daily regime as quickly as possible, really. So, yeah, you find that there's a positivity there, but there's also a realism, you know, the realism of you know, this is an unprecedented, I should say, I think like everybody's saying at the moment, time, and that, you know, there's nothing that anyone can do apart from wait and watch for the scientific and government advice. And that goes for all the authorities, all the infrastructure, all the institutions involved in sport. And there's no one, the power is taken out of their hands, really. So I feel that, you know, a lot of it is kind of a, you know, there's the people have sort of come to terms with being powerless with it. But absolutely, you know, and the training, when you look at the, you know, how some people are training and how they're trying to keep themselves going, it's, you know, they're still maintaining that kind of, you know, that headspace of trying to sort of keep themselves in shape and ready. But it's difficult because there's no real end date. There's no date really for things resuming. It's a gradual, let's see how it goes, let's see how it goes mentality. And that kind of, I think, is, you know, the right, I guess, approach, and a cautious approach, because, you know, a second spike, if you like, would be a, you know, disaster. So they're doing, I think it's taken, you know, with a healthy dose of realism, but a large slice of optimism behind the scenes, if that makes sense. So everybody's hoping and praying things can come back, especially for the fans, you know, as well. The fans are what make, you know, live sport and live events and, you know, live entertainment everything that it is. You know, you imagine holding a concert behind closed doors. It's not really the same. It's, you know, a football game behind closed doors is, whilst it's, you know, it's great to get the games played and the matches done, the atmosphere isn't the same. You can't argue with that. And so that's the key thing. You know, I think it's doing things as safely as possible, but also just getting through this period in the best way we can. And, you know, sport sadly has been a big casualty of what we're going through right now.
It definitely is one of the biggest casualties. And as a sports journalist in that mindset, when you're going into work, it must be quite difficult to actually find stories to be able to tell on a daily basis. How do you sort of news gather during this period, and how do you find new ways of telling stories?
Yeah, you would think that there'd be hardly anything with nothing going on, but there's actually quite an abundance of news related to coronavirus and sport. You know, there's lines every day. You know, it just depends on which line you want to go on. There's so many different angles that the coronavirus issue is having with sports teams and sports personalities. It's, you know, how people are coping in terms of their training. You've got mental health angles. You've got creative ways of how they're keeping themselves in shape. Those types of, you know, political kind of stories that are spinning off the back of it. You know, for example, funding to do with certain sports and funding to do with, you know, kind of dates that have been pegged towards something. And obviously with the Premier League and with other leagues around the world that have got rights issues attached to, you know, they're being played. Then, you know, you've got a sort of business angle around it there too. So you've got many different elements within, and the human interest too, of course. You know, there's sports stars that have lost loved ones. You know, Anthony Yard, the boxer, who he's a guy I know quite well, and he lost his dad and I think his grandma as well to coronavirus. So, two close family members. And it affects people in human ways. And you know, there's certainly lots of angles you can cover it from a sports point of view. There's not anything that, you know, that's off limits in terms of sports presenting and reporting when it comes to coronavirus. So, but yeah, like the daily reality of what we normally do isn't the same. The narrative's changed a bit, that's all.
So everything we would normally look forward to in the sporting calendar this summer has been cancelled, from the Euros to Wimbledon, even to the Olympics. What personally are you going to miss from the sporting calendar this summer?
Probably the Olympics, I think. It's not, you know, that's been postponed to next year. But I think in terms of 2020, that was the flagship event, really. Euros was, you know, something to look forward to as well, with, you know, England doing so well at the last World Cup. Then, But I think the 2020 Olympics and Paralympics are something, you know, every 4 years, it's just a highlight of the year, isn't it? You know, Rio was incredible. London 2012 was unbelievable. So Tokyo was something I think a lot of people were looking forward to. You know, it's a great city. I've never been there, but it just, you know, I hear amazing things about it. And they were really looking to put on a show. So, you know, it's not just the sport on show there. It's the entertainment and it's the spectacle and it's the cultural phenomenon of what the Olympics brings to the world, really. So, yeah, we'll have to wait another year for that. But I think it's the right call. And, you know, it's the definitely the right thing to do. You know, mass participation events are just a no-go right now. So it's the only thing you can do, really. So that's the one I probably will miss the most. And obviously you get so many amazing stories that come out of Olympics and Paralympics, don't you? You know, you've got people that are doing incredible, wonderful things in, you know, an unknown area of a discipline. You have major stars that can kind of make or break hearts. Yeah, you have absolutely priceless moments. Super Saturday at the end of 2012, you know, that's just a classic example with Farah and Jessica Ennis-Hill doing the goal, winning the golds for us there and doing wonders. It's just, you know, those are the types of, you know, days. And Greg Rutherford, I think, as well on that day too. But yeah, I think those are the sort of, you know, moments that you kind of only get once in a not a lifetime, but I guess they really stand out in terms of the sporting memories that you gather as a, you know, as a journalist. You remember certain things, and Olympic moments always stand out. So that's probably the one that I would have missed the most. But having said that, you know, next year we'll see. Fingers crossed, everything goes according to plan and it goes ahead with fans and everything else. So we might still get it next year, really.
I think one of the things you touched about how the Olympics kind of brings people together, and it's one of those moments, isn't it, where it can really define sort of a period that we're going through. I think that's one of the things about sport. We all hope it returns because of that ability to bring us together. But are we going to have to adjust to a new normal when it does return? Can we just go back to normal, or is it going to have to change?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, it's certainly something for, I think, you know, for health authorities and epidemiologists, really, more than the journalists and politicians, for sure. But I would expect that, you know, looking at what the commentary is kind of saying at the moment, and how, you know, how a lot of kind of reporting is sort of being done, it sounds like social distancing will be here for a while, until there is a vaccine of some sort, or until there is effective track and trace measures. And there are many, you know, variables in the mix, really, to determine what will be the new normal, as they say. You see, it's a term I don't really like, the new normal. I find it, it doesn't really rankle very well with me. I think the new normal shouldn't be a thing for me that we should kind of adhere to. We should kind of get used to a pattern and then get back to how we want things to be as soon as possible, but as safely as possible. So I don't think, for me, a new normal doesn't feel right. It feels like we're dumbing down life a little bit, or doing ourselves down. It's a negative term, in my opinion, new normal. So I would like it to be, you know, I mean, a reality might be a better way to put it, actually. I think a reality of you know, how sport and how events are going to be conducted in the near future would be a better way to look at it. I think social distancing and, you know, more hygienic kind of standards, better hygienic standards and better kind of like practices for cleanliness would go a long way. And if those practices stay in, not necessarily social distancing, but the hygiene and the way things are looked after and the way events are run, if they're managed and maintained in a really impeccable way, then that is a good thing. You know, that's a positive to look forward to in the future, because, you know, not saying it wasn't like that now before the lockdown, but it will inevitably improve the quality and standard of life. So if we can take things from this period and implement them for a positive future, then all for it. But at the same time, it will be difficult for however long it is until we get a handle on this coronavirus pandemic. And that goes for everyone around the world, you know, that's not just the more westernized or populous countries. It's everybody is in this, you know, every single human on this earth is in this. So we will have to do our part. And I think that it's, you know, it's a big battle we have on our hands, but I'm confident we'll be through it all right.
You're listening to Journos in Lockdown.
In terms of your career, you were on screen and broadcasting from an early age. What's the secret to getting into that position? Did you have a clear idea of where you wanted to be, or was it about taking the right opportunities at the right time?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Chris. The right opportunities at the right time. And it's quite, I find myself, you know, thinking back and looking back, and, you know, I find that I've been quite lucky, to a point, because, impressed the right people at the right time, as we said. But it's just a case of, I think, having an idea, having a vision, having a goal, and then going for it and doing whatever you can to get to a place where you are happy with whatever that outcome is. I kind of got in with the right people after interviewing some bosses, really, for my dissertation, and managed to do some work experience at a few production companies. I just carried on doing as much work experience as possible. And that's the thing, you've got to just do as many things as you can in order to find what the paths are you can use and get from. To get to, you know, some sort of career path to the end goal, really. The end goal wasn't always presenting. It was, you know, I would love to have done presenting. That was the, you know, something I aspired to when I was younger. But then, you know, things take a different path. I was a researcher for a while. I was a researcher for Hell's Kitchen, which is a show that is in America now, but not here. It was with Gordon Ramsay back in the day. And I started out as a runner for Anton Deck. So done all the jobs going, pretty much. And then got an opportunity to, my postgraduate diploma in journalism at City, I did some more work experience at BBC News and BBC Sport, and then managed to get a job behind the scenes as a broadcast assistant there, and then built my way up from there, and then made a show reel, got it to a few people, and then got in with Children's BBC at the right time when they were looking for people, really, and then had to go through the audition process. And, you know, I'd not done anything on air on TV before, I'm not from a theatrical background or anything, really. So I had to learn a lot of things very, very quickly. And so I would say to anyone that is trying to get into this industry or is, you know, working really hard and feeling that they're not getting a break, it's just to keep going and not get down and to just keep trying new things, because you don't know where those new things are going to go. And especially with the way the media is set up at the moment, it's not just BBC, ITV, Sky, Channel 4, Channel 5, and a couple of others. It's, you know, it's the whole shebang. And I would always say as well to anyone who's wanting to go into the industry to not neglect any of the skills that you learn as a journalist. And that can be for, you know, knowing how to write, because that's a skill that is vital in any of the disciplines, print, radio, TV, online. You've got to know how to, I mean, I would suggest knowing how to edit, because editing is kind of critical now for every outlet, you know, whether that's TV, radio, online, again, it's for anything, because everybody has a digital presence now. So you've got to know how that side of things works. You've got to also, I think, know how to deal with people, interviewing, all these things that are really, really important to the discipline. You've got to just be really on it and really across it. So I'd suggest to anyone that is thinking about pursuing this line of work to not want everything too soon, because I find that whenever I do a lot of talks for universities and groups and students, and I think that the process seems to have been accelerated from where people want to be and where they are right now. I think you've got to understand the journey takes a lot of time, and not everyone goes and gets a great break straight away. You've got to work at your discipline, and there are so many success stories of people who've worked their way up. So I really would stress that, to never get downhearted or, you know, downbeat about anything when it comes to career stuff, especially at this moment in time, because right now it's a very funny period, but in the next sort of 6 months to a year, I think that, you know, opportunities will start coming back around again. And then, you know, the way things work, it's a cyclical nature of how the industry goes. So whilst you might be feeling like you're down and out at one point, you can be up and high again within a couple of months the next time around. So there's always something to look forward to, I'd say.
What an answer.
Yeah, thanks, man.
In one of our first podcasts, we had Chris Mason on, and one of the points he made was that it was the first time as a journalist where he'd been a participant and not an observer. Does that message resonate with you? Do you think there's ever been a more important time for high quality journalism?
Yeah, it's a really good point Chris makes, because this is the most critical time for high quality journalism. And I think it shows with a lot of what the audience is saying right now and a lot of what the audience is feeling, because the BBC, for example, is, you know, in my opinion, and I'm not just saying this because I work for them, it's the gold standard in high quality journalism. You know, you've got the world's leading programs in terms of journalism, broadcast journalism, online journalism, radio journalism, all of it is, you know, is the best in the world, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think in the previous I think when there was a bit of hoo-ha around politicians boycotting certain shows with the BBC, that I don't think that really did them any favours at all, because, you know, they need to be held to account, and the BBC does an incredible job of that. And you just know when you come to reputable outlets like Arcus and like, you know, other news organisations that have been around a long time and have got their reputation as their trading point, you can't beat that. You know, there's a lot of other outlets out there that will be peddling all sorts of stuff to get clicks and get traction. But you just know for one that, you know, BBC News, for example, or whatever it is, the New York Times, for example, is another one. You know, they know that the standards that these people employ are second to none. And the high quality journalism and the you know, the fact checking, the, you know, the standards of editorial discipline, the legalities around, you know, what you say, it's just, you know, that it's going to be something you can rely on. So you don't have to worry about where you get your knowledge from and your information. And there's just nothing to question with it, really. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, that everybody has times when we're led down the wrong path, or, you know, where, you know, things may not necessarily go, may not be reported as accurate as they could be in terms of where the knowledge is coming from at the source. But, you know, it always is corrected. And I think with the journalism within the BBC, you've got the best resource for everything you need to know to hand there, I think. And that's the same for many other established outlets as well in the commercial world too. You know, you've got the traditional outlets that are really showing their worth right now in this moment in time. And it's a great place to kind of come to and know that, you know, you're going to be served and you're going to get everything that is going to make you feel empowered as a citizen in this moment in time, because the power really is taken out of our hands right now. And the more we can bring it back to the people, the better.
And finally, you've touched on this already, and there'll be many student journalists at the moment feeling daunted about trying to get into the industry during such an unsettling period. If you could give them one piece of advice, what would it be to get their foot in the door?
That's a good question again, but I think that what you've got to remember is that you've got to play a long game with this. You know, you've got to try and knock on as many doors as possible. You've got to try and basically make an impression where you can and not worry about rejection. So anyone that's trying to get in right now, I would suggest trying to find out try and identify where it is you want to be, like what genre, what program, what area of media that you want to be in is, and then look at ways and look at outlets where you feel like you can add something to that production mix. So if it's in newspapers, look at where your local newspapers are, look at where there's an interest that you might have, say, for example, in sports journalism, where there's an outlet in, you know, in sports somewhere that you may think could help, could use your help potentially. Like it's an interesting one. There's so many ways you can do it. I mean, emails are probably the best way to try and get through to people. I would suggest like find out who the right person is to be chasing to try and get some work experience. But more importantly, I think work on yourself. You know, you've got to remember that, you know, somebody who's going to take a punt on you is going to want to know what you can bring, what you can, who you are, what you've done. So you've got to remember, like, you've got to sing about and remember the praises and remember all the good things that you've done in your career, and make sure that people kind of can see the relevance of how that can work for them. So it's no good just sort of having done a degree, not having done any other practical work experience, and then going to knock on, say, for example, BBC London's door, because they're having hundreds of people knock on their door, thousands probably. So it's you know, it's a case of having to make yourself stand out in terms of a career point of view, really. I would suggest probably thinking about yourself more than anything. What is it you want to bring to the media environment, and where do you want to go with it? Because those are the most important things you've got to think about. And then when you've figured that out, then put a strategy in place where you can try and work with the right people, the right influencers, the right outlets to enhance your career again a little bit further. So it's like step by step by step. You know, it doesn't all come straight away. And if it does, then you're going to be lucky to stay in that position, because you've got to work extremely hard in order to keep swimming in a big gig straight away. So you've got to make sure that your skills and your experience is all like matched up. I think, you know, it's a tough time. There's no doubt about it. It's a tough time because there's a lot of competition to try and get into these places, and there aren't as many jobs as people going for them. So it's going to be difficult, and you have to really, really stand out. And I think, as you know, this industry is very, particularly the commercial side of this industry, it's very receptive to what is, you know, happening at the moment in terms of the current economic situation. It might be even tougher for the next few months. So it's just an opportunity, though, in my eyes, because you can still add value to a process, add value to a team by thinking about what you can really, really bring and what you've done. It may be a case of having to wait a bit longer. It may be a case of having to knock on more doors, more rejections, whatever it is. But it will definitely turn. And I think the more you can think about what it is you can bring, the better, really. So, yeah, I would always suggest to someone to never get downbeat about it. I remember when I was starting out, I had to, you know, it was tough because I wasn't doing enough, like, kind of runner work or researcher work to pay all the bills when I moved to London. You know, it was a really tough time. So I had to do two or three other jobs, you know, in non-related media journalism areas. So I remember working in Ted Baker. I worked for the MHRA, the Medicines Healthcare Regulatory Agency, as an admin assistant. Worked for the Alzheimer's Society. All these are like sort of temp job type things, but they help pay the way. And sometimes I had to take on full-time work as well to supplement the money coming in. And it was tough, you know, it was very, very hard. And I questioned a lot of whether it was worth it or not. And it's easy to do that because you're thinking, you see other mates around getting good jobs in wherever it is and doing pretty well and then making their way up their career ladders. And you're still stuck on doing this, this and this. And it seems to be just spinning plates and nothing's really moving. But the reality is it does move eventually. It's a very unique career, the media industry, especially in TV, especially journalism. You know, it's very trend based, and I think and opportunities can come around very easily if you're prepared to work hard for it and work smart for it, really. So, yeah, I would suggest to someone to not downbeat or downhearted about anything, and just to keep going, really, and keep persevering, because while we're in a bit of a tough time, things do change, and they will change.
Gavin Ramjohn, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you to Gavin Ramjohn for taking the time to speak to us. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Journos. We'll be back on Wednesday, where Evan Hall will be speaking to Andrea Byrne from ITV Wales. For now, goodbye and stay safe.